Blog Talk Radio.
Talk about a lot of issues, a lot of stuff going on. Got a little fired up today, doing some show prep reading, doing some article reading and stuff, and just want to talk to you guys and see what's going on in your lives, in your world, and we'll tell you what we think's going on. So without ado, I'd like to introduce my good old friend, Old DB from the West Side. Are you there, Old DB?
Hey, what's happening, man? What's going on?
All right.
Back again for another show, number 7, huh?
Yeah. Lucky 7, yeah. I think.
Starting to pile them up.
They haven't found us yet.
But pretty soon we'll be like fucking Howard Stern, 30 years worth.
Just keep stacking them one after another. Pretty soon we'll have a baker's dozen here pretty soon. I'm glad you made it. I know you were saying you weren't feeling all that great. You had a bad headache and stuff, so, it's cool you made it in.
We'll work through it. I got a beer in front of me. That'll be good enough.
Yeah, what are you drinking?
I got a Bell's Midwestern Pale Ale, which is pretty fucking good, man. It's pretty tasty.
Yeah,
got a picture of a barn and a big old wheat field right in front of it. Looks like my fucking house just about out back.
Huh.
But yeah, it's pretty tasty, man. It's a good beer. It's a good summer beer. It's not feeling like summer today, but the beer, yeah, man. I can picture drinking this one on a nice 90 degree day because it's pretty good beer.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had that.
I think it's fairly new. I don't know if they might have had it last year, maybe, but it hasn't been around long, but it's pretty damn tasty. Should give it a shot sometime.
Well, that's cool. I'm drinking a Shishi Fufu beer for Midwestern women. It's Leinenkugel orange shandy, which is take on the summer shandy, I guess. It's a little more orange flavored, and it's like kind of like Blue Moon, I guess, but a little maybe crisper and lighter, and it has more orange flavor to it. It's really easy. It's easy to drink. It's, you know.
Yeah. You got a little orange slice on it in an umbrella?
No, the orange flavor is in it, though. It tastes like there's an orange slice in it.
Is it?
It's almost
God,
like,
I can't stand that Blue Moon. I don't know what the fuck it is, man. I've tried it about 3-4 different times, and I just do not like that beer. I don't know what it is about it, but I can't drink that beer.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell.
Something
about
like
it just
then.
Gives me the fucking willies, man.
Well, you wouldn't like this then, because that's probably the most similar beer I could think of to it.
Is it?
Yeah, probably wouldn't
then. Well, you know, you're drinking those Wisconsin beers, man. You're getting all those Midwestern farm girls drinking that kind of stuff, the Leinenkugels.
Right.
Straight out of
this
Wisconsin.
This shit is fattening as hell, too. There's like 50 carbs in each bottle. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah, it's real. I just wanted to try it, once. I'd never tried it, so picked up a 12-pack. Figured it was, it's going along with, I'm on my juice fast right now, so drinking nothing but organic cold-pressed juices, like 6 big bottles a day. And
Are you eating food also, or what? Is it just the juice?
Well, I'm not supposed to be, but I ate a little yesterday, and today I broke down and had a salad at lunch. But, yeah, You're not supposed to eat anything, and if you do, you're just supposed to eat like organic fruits and vegetables. So it's really hard to do, man. It's just like, you know, that stuff just ripped right through me. You know, you get the crabs. You know, you're hungry. Your stomach's hungry, but you're bloated because you're bloated from all the fluid, but you're still hungry. You know, it's just it's crazy. But it's supposed to reset your system and everything. And I haven't drank coffee for a couple days, so kind of like you, I was fighting a headache all day, trying to, you know, get friggin' delivered from caffeine addiction.
Well, here we are, man. Information warriors, fucking fighting through our nastiness to bring it all to the masses.
Yeah. We'll sacrifice anything for the cause. I'm about ready to kick my dog Butters right in the throat. She just keeps getting on me and whining. She's her buddy. We had to put him down a couple weeks ago, and she's just so needy and whiny right now. She just keeps coming by me and whining. So if you hear a dog whining in the background, it's her.
Probably bored.
Certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
Yeah. I won't kick her in the throat, really.
Yeah. Hey, if anybody's listening, wants to give us a call, we are Blisterfish. Give us a call at 646-595-4686. We're going to get into a little bit of everything tonight, man. Did you? I know you were mentioning that Michael Sam deal earlier, man. What do you think about all that? It's been ridiculous, response to it.
We had our draft show last week, which we were kind of heavy NFL, about half the show, and I don't know if we actually got into it or talked about it at all, but that the whole Michael Sam thing, which to me also has a lot to do with the whole religious angle of things, but in this country, but that Michael Sam thing, I mean, I agree. I've been going on a lot of sports sites and stuff too, and looking at people's comments about it, and I agree, you know, it's time to, you know, let it go and just stop talking about it so much. It does distract from a lot of good stories and a lot of things that are going on in the NFL, and they're constantly talking about, you know, him being a homosexual and constantly replaying him kissing his boyfriend and everything. But it's like we're in the state of this country that it's a necessary evil. We have to go through this so homosexuals can get their civil rights and that they're due. And, you know, people just keep, you know, saying there's something wrong with it. There's something, basically half the country is homophobic. So it's like you have to fight this constantly, you know, and I hate, because pro football, that's my sport. That's the sport I love. And I hate that it's hijacked for that cause. But I understand it's a necessary evil. And I kind of just put my hands up in the air and say, what are you going to do? You know, they're just going to keep pushing it and riling people up. And, you know, and it's going to take people, I guess people have to be shocked first. We're so religiously regressed in this country, you know, repressed by religion in this country that, you know, we can't see a man peck another man on the mouth. And it's so shocking.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw Phil Simms and Jim Nantz were on CBS this morning when I got up and got the kid off to school, and he was like, you know what, this is all a media deal more than it is anything, and maybe you're right, it probably is just the fact of trying to get it out so we don't have to make such a big deal about it in the future, you know. But he said, he goes, you know, there have been gay men in the NFL for years. And he said, we've all known it in the locker room. We know who they are. It's not a big deal. It never has been. It's just never been made public before. And he said that there are gay men throughout the NFL and have been for as long as he's known. So, he played in the 80s, right? Or, you know, that started probably, mid-80s? I'm not sure what draft he came out of, but I'm sure he was playing in the 80s. But, you know, he basically said, everyone's known about it. Everyone in the locker room knows if there's someone that's gay or not. It's accepted. It's not. There's not a big deal about it. He said the showers, the locker room, none of it is made a big deal about it. And he said, but now, you know, here we are confronting it publicly, and it's, I think it's less really the NFL than it is the general public being, you know, willing or able to accept it.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So,
you know,
it's been around, man. Even though you're getting these reactions from some of the NFL players about, you know, hey, there's kids watching and shit. That's about the fucking most ridiculous comment I've seen. I saw this reaction today from, it was a local station in Dallas. I think it wasn't two women, and they showed the guys kissing, you know, and she was freaked out by it, you know. She was absolutely freaked out about it. I just imagine her, you know, from Dallas in Texas. I just picture her, like, in the early 60s, them showing, like, two black people kissing, whether they be gay or not,
right.
And her having the exact same reaction. You know,
right.
Oh my God, what are they doing showing that on TV? Holy shit, but that should not be shown. There's kids watching, two black people kissing, you know.
Right.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
Yep.
You know, now it's gay people. That's the civil rights issue. So I'm wondering what the next step is going to be. You know, to me, this was something that was a long time coming, needed to happen years and years ago. I'm past the point of I'm kind of like you. You know, it's been overblown, it's been overdone, overcovered, and should have been a non-issue a long time ago. Here we are in the 21st fucking century, still dealing with two gay people kissing on TV. Who fucking cares? You know, I mean. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't even want to hear about it. You know, I don't give a fuck if you're gay or if you're not gay. I don't go around talking about my heterosexual proclivities. You know, I mean, who cares, man? I'm disappointed. I just don't give a fuck. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that those are also like the busybody people, man. They get in everybody else's lives. They got to know. They're the gossipers. They're the ones that have to fucking know everything that's going on in everyone else's lives because theirs are so fucking boring, you know, and that they have to involve themselves in how other people carry themselves out in their lives instead of just minding their own fucking business, you know, and doing what they need to do to get along in their own life. They got to fucking stick their nose into other people's lives, you know. Those people are fucked up.
Yes, I agree.
So, all that... 99.5% of that is all religion. It's written down in biblical passages by some fuckers from the Iron Age, or maybe a little bit later, you know, depending on when the pieces of fiction were brought together and put into a Bible and printed. And of course, the first Bible was printed in Greek. So, you know, fuck, who the fuck knows? You know, Greeks were famous for their homosexuality.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I know.
Who the fuck knows, man? But of course, in the modern day, 21st century, here you got gay people defending themselves for their sexual orientation because of a Bible written or a book written 2,000 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, in I think Rome too. I don't know, Greece and Rome. I think homosexuals were actually it was not looked poorly upon, I think, a lot of some of the earlier societies too.
Yeah,
and a lot
was a normal thing for a lot of those early societies, and you know, and of course, religion demonized it, and now everybody, you know, now you can get your ass beat just because you like, you know, you're a guy liking another guy. That's the thing with me, you know. I know quite a few gay people. I'm a couple good friends. Some of my best friends. A couple of my best friends are gay that I know. You know that I know along the way. And I was just talking one time. I was like, we were drinking. I was like, I just can't. With one of my friends is gay, and I was like, I just can't imagine having to worry about getting your ass beat, or worse, or killed, or whatever else. Just because of who you fucking like, who you love, who you have a relationship with, you know, getting your ass pummeled or killed just because of fucking who you're attracted to. So fucked up, man. So fucked up. So, you know, you bring it back to the NFL, and I know you're huge on the NFL, but this is one of my main problems, and maybe the very biggest problem I have with the NFL is, you know, none of that shit gets covered. I mean, Michael Sam got more coverage about a kiss he made when he was drafted than Ray Lewis did when he took part in a murder. You know,
yeah, right.
That fucker's on ESPN now. You know, maybe
right.
The greatest middle linebacker that ever lived, but also a murderer. You know, or
yeah.
They know what happened, that he was there. They just couldn't bring charges against.
There.
So he was either an accessory or one of the people that it happened. I'm more inclined to think that he took part in it physically, because none of his friends would turn on him. There was four or five.
Mm-hmm.
He was with his posse, and they all participated one way or the other in that motherfucker. But you know, you go on and on. I mean, the dude that was drunk driving, and the guy from the Browns that killed some guy, and he paid the family off like $2 million or something. And you know,
Larry Little, he was from St. Louis, I think. Leonard Little.
Was he? Okay,
he
I thought it was from the Browns. But the numerous, marital, I forgot what how you call it legally, but they're beating the fuck out of their spouses left and right. Some guy just got arrested again today. If you go back and look, I'm willing to bet that list is 100 long of people, players that have been arrested for beating their spouses up.
And how many
people back in
the day have the cops have come there, and because they were a big sports star, they just turned a blind eye to it. Well,
right.
They don't do it as much now, but
they got money.
The 60s, 70s, they just let them go.
Yeah. That's my biggest problem.
Sure.
Not only is that not covered, you know, but, you know, that's the biggest thing that's going on here is Michael Sam kissing his boyfriend when that's almost not, I mean, there's a cult, you know, in football's a violent sport, man. You got to be a violent person to fucking play it, and that certainly obviously bleeds over into your everyday life. But that's rarely ever talked about. If it is, it's one or two bylines, and this Michael Sam thing has gotten a week long. Maybe it's just because of all the same sex marriage issue, so all that's kind of coming to the forefront.
Yeah.
You know, and he's kind of
a
piece of that. But
they're using him as a battering ram to break down the barriers, you know, and use him as a sounding piece or mouthpiece for the gay rights movement, which is smart.
Yeah.
I mean, because it hits a lot of people that would normally be exposed to that. But you're getting so much homophobia from it. I mean, he's just, you know, crazy. You know, you read the tweets that he gets. It's just, you know, basically, go kill yourself, cocksucker. You know, stuff like that. I mean, it's just, you know,
and I can guarantee you
how far we are in a country, how far down we are. And I can guarantee you
99% of that response has been from God-fearing Christians.
Oh, yeah.
God-fearing, loving, wonderful, Jesus is wonderful, God is love Christians.
Right.
Isn't that a daisy?
It's just about every single one of those fuckers that sent some hate-filled, spewed tweet or email or comment or whatever else, they're fucking all religiously oriented.
Right.
You know? It's fucked up, man.
Well, it's in Leviticus. It's an abomination unto God. You know, we got to rid the earth. You know, we're only trying to help them. We're only trying to save their souls. That's the whole thing with religion. What I cannot fucking stand is, you know, because of that warp mentality, you have this. It empowers you in your mind to think you are the person that's helping. You're helping. These people are desperately in need of salvation. These gays, whoever has a outwardly noticeable sin problem, and you know, not to mention sin's a fucking human construct. Anyways, it's all bullshit. But anyways, let's say it's real. You know, these people have a more outwardly sin that we can see, or you know, or we think we can see it. Anyways, so we can save them. You know, and it's so fucking retarded. And that's the problem.
Right.
They don't believe in any sciences. They don't believe in anything. When somebody says people are born gay, that's the way it is. It's not a lifestyle choice. You know, most people are born gay. I mean, there's probably bisexual people that are, you know, like both. But, you know, people that like same sex, that's what they like. You can't fucking change them. You can't. They've even admitted it. They had that program, that Christian program. They admitted it failed. It doesn't work. You can't turn somebody that into liking other sex that like same sex. It just doesn't work. But they can torture them, and they can say they're going to hell, and they're condemning these people to hell and everybody else, you know, that it supports them or whatever, because of a stupid fucking line written in a archaic ancient book. For people that were fucking ignorant, living in desert 4,000 years ago, and you're going to live your life by that and treat people cruelly over that? Are you fucking kidding me? It's one passage in a book of fiction,
and they're fucking. They got to go off. Well, you know, and that's the thing about fucking religion, dude. Is it's so hypocritical. It's not even funny. So they'll believe in that part of it, but they won't. You know. You work on Sundays, you're supposed to be stoned to death. Where's that at?
Right.
I can guarantee you just about every single religious person at one time or another has you know, worked on Sundays, you know? So let's go stone those fuckers to death then, or, you know, whatever,
all the
ridiculous passages. I mean,
how you treat your slaves. Do you
right.
kill your kid when he's disobedient? Do you kill your wife for wearing two different color garments?
Right.
You know, all this stuff. It's just so fucking stupid, dude. It's insane.
Yeah, but they cling on to that one fucking passage about people being gay, and that's their, you know, how they live their life. You know, they believe that's part of their moralistic values is to hate gay people or hate anybody in general. You know, those are the fucking American Taliban, dude. Anybody that reads the book and goes off and hates people because of the Bible, you're fucking American Taliban, man. That's a Christian radical espousing Sharia law, Christian Sharia law onto other people. I mean, when you're hating on other people because of a fucking book written in the Iron Age by a bunch of fucking shepherds roaming the desert and whatever else, and you're believing that shit, and then you read it and you take that, and then you go off into your daily life and hate people because of what you've read in the Bible. And then try and impose that on other people on top of it. That's fucking Christian Sharia law. All these Christians are worried about this fucking Islamic Sharia law coming over and, you know, Oklahoma passing laws against Sharia law, whatever else. So, you know, fucking Christians are as bad as anybody about it here in America, more than probably anywhere else in the world, you know?
Right.
It's just hypocritical, man. This is the thing, man. Like all those girls that were kidnapped, you know, in Africa. You know, it's 200 girls, and they're kidnapped by that Muslim group, and now the whole world's involved and shit. I'm wondering if those girls were Muslim, who would have given a fuck? You know, they're mainly Christian, and this Muslim group was trying to convert them over. If those girls ended up being Muslim, you wouldn't even have fucking heard about it. They'd be off in 50 different directions, you know, being the fifth, sixth wife of some fucking, you know, backwoods tribal leader somewhere, and you wouldn't have heard a fucking second peep about it, you know?
Right.
But because they're mainly Christian, and they're taken away by a Muslim radical group, you know, then the world's got to mobilize.
Right.
You know? And speaking of the fucking hypocrisy of it, dude, did you see that, you know, Michelle Obama held up the sign that said, bring our girls back or something like that? And the first thought I fucking had of it is, I didn't see her holding a sign saying, you know, Barack, please stop killing these same kind of girls with drone bombs in other parts
of
the world.
Countries.
He certainly has fucking killed as many kids as were kidnapped with drone bombs as were kidnapped in Africa. You know, but again, most of those kids were Muslim. You know?
You don't hear
about it.
Did you see that one video? I think I don't know if I sent it to you. The guy, it was a helicopter pilot. And he was he was a drone pilot, and he was talking about, and he had the video of he had this one building he was supposed to blow up, and right as he shot the missiles out of the drone, a little boy runs out the front door around the side. He's running along the side, like a little, like, 5 or 6 year old little boy.
Yep.
And you don't see him. He just, you know, is gone in the fucking giant smoke cloud. And he goes, "Do you think you killed him?" And he goes, "I'm sure I did." And he goes, "How do you feel about that?" The guy's devastated. He's fucking devastated, man.
Were killing, it would have ended a long time ago, man. If they were Christians, we were drone bombing, it wouldn't be happening. But I'm going to take a totally unrelated detour. What's that?
Right. I was going to take a quick, weird detour. I agree with what you're saying, but it just popped into my brain, and I want to say it because I'll forget if I don't. Exactly, I agree with everything you're saying. If it was Christian, we wouldn't be doing it. But you still got these dumb, inbred, stupid, fucking religious, Republican, poor rednecks in this country that think Obama is for Muslims, and he's Muslim, and he's protecting Muslims. This guy is a fucking butcher of Muslims. He's not fucking protecting no Muslims. These people are insane. And they're still out there talking this shit, saying he's a Muslim. Yeah. He's trying to turn the country into Muslims. And I'm like, oh, my God. They're fucking nuts, man.
Fucking
these people
you know what that boils down to, dude, is the fucking – not only does he have a funny name – but he's black, dude. That's a color thing, and you're going to hear that until he gets out of office and maybe forever more from all the fucking redneck white hicks that watch Fox News and think that's actually reality, you know, or listen to the Rush Limbaugh or whatever.
My advice for them, and I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, if you hate him that bad and you think he's a Muslim insurgent in our fucking government and he's trying to, kill Christians and make this country taken over by Muslims. Go out and pull a John Hinckley on him. Go try to kill him then. Don't be a chicken shit. Go try to get him. You know, become a martyr. Go sacrifice yourself. Go try to kill the president. I mean,
did you hear that? Did you just hear that?
Yeah.
That's a Secret Service knocking on your door.
Yeah, that powder up. No, I'm just saying, you got to be a fucking imbecile to think that. I mean, he killed more Muslims, I mean, under his watch.
Probably more than Bush at this point. I mean, we're still in Iraq. I mean, we're not actively militarily fighting there, but there's bombings going off just about every week in Iraq still. We're still in Afghanistan. Now we're drone bombing the shit out of Pakistanis and Yemen and fucking, you know, who knows where, because it's not even reported anymore. But it's guaranteed that those drone bombs have fucking hit. They've hit funeral processions. They've hit wedding receptions. It's done more harm to the world balance than anything, I think, even including 9/11, because fucking he's done a better job of recruiting terrorists than anything else ever could have done because of these fucking drone bombs.
Right.
You know, I sure as hell, if my family's killed with a drone bomb, I sure as hell would be fucking taking up arms and doing whatever I can to fucking fight the power at that point. What else you got to lose, you know?
I definitely don't feel safer as a country since after 9/11. I mean,
fuck good is it doing? What the fuck good is it doing, man? We're killing all these, and it's all collateral damage. I mean, we're probably killing 2-3 bad guys, and then anybody else in a fucking 2,000-foot radius when that fucker drops, you know. Fuck, dude. It's crazy.
I don't know what missiles they have on them drones, but they're probably about a size of a 3,000 square foot house, or probably no, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 square foot. It was a bigger building, and it just totally eviscerated. It was like, it just boom, and like it doesn't. It was weird because it don't really blow outward. It's almost like it blows downward and inward.
Yeah,
it's weird, but
They're almost like bunker busters now. You know, they dig into the dirt a little bit before they explode. So they, they collapse buildings and shit like that. So maybe that's what it was.
It sucks in first, and then it blows out or something. It just looks weird. It doesn't look like a normal explosion, you know. It's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the whole hypocrisy of fucking religion. And the only reason, religion is the only reason why we're still fucking in Afghanistan and Iraq. If those were Christian countries, how long have we been in Afghanistan now? Like 15 years? It's our longest war ever in the history of our fucking country. And you don't even see it on the news anymore, man.
No.
You don't even fucking see it on the news.
People have given up.
No one even gives a fuck about it. You know?
People have given up. They don't care.
Yeah. No one. I mean, what can you do about it? I mean, you know, Congress isn't going to vote for him to come out of there. And I, you know, it goes back to our previous conversations. They probably will never leave because of the raw resources they're finding there now. I mean, you know, there'll be military outposts there, maybe forever now until that raw resource fucking dwindles.
Right.
But you know, same with Iraq. Once the oil doesn't become important anymore, we'll be out of there. You know,
right?
And then we won't give a fuck about Iran anymore, and Iran will be a fucking also Iran once as soon as oil doesn't matter and we start converting over to alternative energies and shit. But you know, in the meantime, that's still fucking. You know, who knows how long? Because the richest people in the world and the richest corporations in the world are the oil. You know, the oil companies and the banks.
Right.
The banks that fund them. So. I mean, you know, nothing's going to change because that's where all the money is, you know. But the justification for it on a daily level here in America and the average American is religion, man. I mean, if those were Christians that we were drone bombing every day and they didn't have funny names like Abu Salam and whatever else, if it was, you know, John Doe, there's no fucking way we'd still be doing it. There'd be too much public outrage over it. And even these Americans, I mean, we've assassinated against the Constitution. We've assassinated without a trial, without anything. We've assassinated 3 or 4 Americans now, but every single one of them had a
right.
funny name. You know?
Right.
It wasn't Jeff Smith. You know, it was a fucking Islamic name, so that, you know, once we offed them, you know, and killed an American citizen, assassinated an American citizen with a drone, who fucking cares, man? He's got a Muslim name. He didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, you know.
Right.
So that's where it's fucked up, and it always comes back to it, man. It always comes back to religion. And that's a Hitchens' point in his book, God is Not Great, is, you know, how religion taints everything. And he's fucking absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, you know, and I think it also, it not only bleeds through to gay people and our military and justification for what we're doing all over the world, because we're killing colored people with funny names, but you know it's bleeding into what we talked about before into the police forces here in America, and that aggression is coming out fucking everywhere. We're militarizing the police beyond all get up. You know, we've got all this fucking military hardware that we don't know what to do with or can't do anything with it, so we bring it back and give it to the cops. And, you know, and they've got a hard on for, you know, whatever they can, beating up, killing who, you know, people just fucking, just for the hell of it, dude. And I noticed you're on the site, man. This site is called, on Facebook, it's got over 500,000 followers now. And it looks like it's increasing quite a bit. This guy just put down yesterday, or whoever runs it, just said, hey, we're getting close to 500,000 followers. And today it's got 505,000, so it went up 5,000 in less than a day, and I think people are starting to see how fucking crazy it is. So I just want to read like 3 or 4 headlines out of this. It's called Cop Block, and it's on Facebook. That's the name of the page, Cop Block.
We will plug it because we posted our link for our show on there, so we got to plug them.
Yeah, Yeah, but, you know, and I think it's also essential to, for people to know what's really going on. I mean, what's happening with these people? And, again, you're going to see the most religious people in the country defending these people, defending these cops that go off like this.
Yeah.
It's not going to be your atheist. It's not going to be your, you know, even maybe even your I believe in God, but maybe not, I'm not sure type people.
Right.
It's your hardcore Christian evangelicals that are the ones that are going to defend these people. So here's just a couple. This is from the last day that's been posted. Some of these are older stories, but they're so heinous and egregious. They're nasty. And this first one is there's a couple things to it. It's the top writing of it says, cop savagely beats a young man for telling him to shut up. Hey, that happens. But when you see this in the how everything else is reported on the site, it's just one of numerous instances that are happening every day. And the thing that's fucked up about this is most of these, there's a video attached to them, you know?
Right.
But the thing that's fucked up about this one specifically is that his friends are standing around watching him get his ass just handed to him. The cop is standing there with a fucking baton, crushing his fucking head in, and his friends are standing 3 feet away watching him get his ass beat.
Right.
Not doing anything,
I
not
know.
Saying anything, not intervening. So right back to people accepting this shit nowadays, accepting the fucking heavy hand of the cops, of the violence that's being perpetrated on innocent and regular people. Here's another one that's right next to it. Man with Down syndrome beaten by police for walking down the street. This is in California. Vista sheriffs unlawfully arrest, pepper spray, and beat a mentally disabled patient with nightsticks. Then pointed guns at onlookers who were screaming for them to stop. Department says they're sorry for what happened.
I read that one. If we got a call, I'm going to answer a caller.
All right,
and
bring him on.
We'll keep talking about the subject here. But caller, what's your name and where do you hail from?
Adams.
Hey, I know that voice.
Hey, can
sounds
I
like
talk
Jeff. Sounds like Jeff Wolf.
Yeah, what's that?
I shouldn't say your full name on the radio.
That's trouble.
Not so much, dude.
Yeah. Hey, give out his address and phone number too, will you?
Yeah, his address is 4926.
What's the best way for me to get a hold of you guys? Figured I'd call in. Hey, I can't get on your radio show for some reason. I won't download. So I had to call you.
Oh. Well, you gotta get off of dial-up, Jeff. You gotta get on some cable internet radio or cable internet.
No, I don't have dial-up.
Can't be using old dial-up. It won't work.
Yeah, man. This is the 21st century. Come on.
You gotta spend a little money.
All right. I just wanted to say what's up, guys. This is the first time I ever got to call in.
What's happening?
Yeah,
what's happening?
Hey, how you doing there, Dennis? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Doing all right. I know. It's been a while.
I'm interrupting
your
show.
We all met up in fucking Elmont about 5 years ago or something. Remember
that?
I don't know what that was about.
It was over the holidays, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was wintertime for sure. It was quite a while ago, man. It was a few years ago.
We hit like two or three bars in Elmont that night. Was it
Town Bear
too or no?
Town Bear? 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
Yeah, do a shot there, Brian, for us, will you?
Yeah, I'll do a shot for you. I don't know if I got one. Let me see.
I gotta get up at 3:45. I just wanted to say hi to you guys.
Holy crap! 3:45?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
5 a.m.
Hey, this is my advice to you, then.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Yeah, right. Yeah, then I got to get up with the hangover. That's even worse, you know?
I know what's really going on, man. You're going to the strip joints.
Yeah.
They just built a brand new one across the street from our plant, man. I mean, like, as soon as you pull out.
Yeah.
You're
not talking about scores, are you?
Yeah, it's right across the street from my plant. Yeah, scores.
Scores? On 8 Mile?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Damn, how much money have you dropped there already, then?
Zippo, I ain't going in there, man. You know? I ain't giving up my money for nothing.
Jeff's all taking out a second mortgage and shit now that that's open.
That's what he says.
I live with a very dangerous woman.
Yeah, I gotta have the drops in there. We get boring after a while.
I don't have a lot to say. I'm not a very talkative guy. So.
All right, you don't want to rip on religion or anything. you don't want to rip on your boy. You don't want to rip on your boy Obama.
Yeah, hey, I hate him, and then I hate 9/11 was an inside job. I know that.
Oh, okay.
That's the biggest thing on me is 9/11.
He's dipping into it now.
Hey, I told you, 9/11. I don't know how people can put up with that.
Dude, Jeff's all about Obama being a Muslim.
That's what we were just talking about.
There's
another insider, too, that's going to bring the country down, you know?
That'd be Bush. If there ever was anybody, that would have been Bush. But they're all working
all
hard.
I'm
it doesn't matter what
that.
The fucking political party is, man.
Yeah, I
they're
yeah,
all working
right.
hard to do that.
They all suck, you know? Republicans and Democrats, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Something's got to fucking give. Something's
got
to give. There's got to be a third party or something.
Right.
Did you see the guy that the 9/11 memorial thing?
Yeah, that shit's opening. The museum's opening soon, isn't it?
I see it on the news tonight. I was wondering, that's kind of cool. You know, there'll be a lot of protesters out there probably eventually, you know?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. That's such a touchy subject and probably always will be. But you know, all the people that were demanding an investigation and Bush refused to do, that in itself, should ring a fucking bell. That the President of the United States doesn't want to investigate the greatest terrorist act against the country that's ever been committed. You know, why the fuck would you not want to investigate it? But, you know, I don't know, man. The people that were demanding an investigation, all of them, the first group of people, were family members.
They were all family members
of people that had died in the towers. And it seems like the people that are most outraged by wanting that people still want to talk about it or say how fucked up the investigation was or whatever else, you know, they weren't involved with it besides seeing it on TV or being in the city at the time or whatever, you know?
They just want everybody
to
forget
about it.
It's been
mainly the fucking family members, man, that have wanted investigations for it. So.
Right.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hey, you know what? So stupid. They want to investigate Benghazi, but they don't want to investigate 9/11. 3,000 people dead compared to only 4, you know? I mean, 4 is
right.
Not,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, Bush had I think like during Bush's administration, there were like 8 or 10 people killed in embassies around the world. Those fuckers were in Libya during a revolution. How unstable is that? You know, I mean, the country's dangerous before that. Now it's going through a revolutionary upheaval. And they're surprised that people are getting killed while it's happening.
Yeah.
You know, fuck. I mean, that's just going to happen. But that's a good point, man. So, you know, this whole thing about Benghazi's dragged on, like over a year now, still demanding all kinds of investigations, but you don't hear anything about 9/11.
Right.
Nothing. Yeah. You know.
That makes me so mad, that 9/11 shit. It just boils my blood, man.
Yeah. It's fucked up. I don't know what happened, and I don't think anybody will ever know exactly from beginning to end what exactly happened. But it sure is fucking what the government and the media says happened.
There's no fucking way.
All I know is there's two things that I know for sure. because I worked with it and I understand metallurgy. But jet fuel burns at 800 to 900 degrees, and you got to get the temperature up to at least over 2,000 degrees to melt those steel girders when they're melted like that. And when they're liquid, they don't go into liquid form till like, you know, they're pretty, you know, takes a lot of more temperature than jet fuel to melt them. So for that stuff to melt like that, it's just 1850.
Mainly fucking, it's like kerosene, dude. It's almost the same consistency as kerosine. So
you know what I've heard people say, on
the military, you know, you do see like jets that crash in the jet fuel kind of burns through the deck, the flight deck.
Mm-hmm.
So it does get hot, but in that instance of those steel girders, man, I think it's somewhere around 1850 or 900 degrees before, you know, the steel starts becoming unstable, and that fucking fuel doesn't burn anywhere close to that temperature.
No, it burns up so fast too. You know, it just burns up so fast as it's, you know, pouring down. It just burns up, and once it's gone, it's gone. It's not like it's soaked in jet fuel, you know, the whole time. It's stupid.
That whole thing's fucking up.
Building that's ever fell from a plane crash, or both of them coming, they both fell.
No, a steel frame building has never ever in the history of mankind collapsed because of a fire.
Not just them. That building 7 too. I mean, that's just
right.
Never got hit by a plane. Just free fall.
Free fall because of fire again. Because of a couple fires in it.
Yeah, free fall at the rate of gravity from a fire.
But we're stupid
for thinking that's weird.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's no video evidence of a plane hitting at all, you know. That's the thing that really
look at Shanksville. There was not one fucking bit of plane anywhere where they said that plane crashed.
Oh yeah,
no,
they right.
No body parts. No fuselage, no two-ton titanium engines, no tail section, nothing.
It just incinerated.
It just disappeared.
It crashed so hard.
All the cameras they got there, they got no evidence or no photos of a plane going into the building.
Nothing.
It just shows a big... explosion going off, you know.
Well, they've got, you know, a local Fox dude was out there reporting right after it happened, or fairly soon after it happened, and there's video of it on YouTube. I haven't looked in quite a long time, but he's standing right out by the crater in the ground that they say the plane caused, and he keeps saying like two or three times, he goes, it really doesn't look like a plane has crashed here at all. It's like you can't see any evidence of it whatsoever. You know, he said it like two or three times in the live footage. So it was like maybe an hour or two after the plane crash, and you know there was already people on site now, but nothing was there. No plane, no bodies, no seats, nothing.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
And we're the crazy ones. We're the conspiracy theorists because we're saying things like this. But we'll never ever know exactly what happened. But it was probably, and this is the thing that's the worst part about it. It was probably the worst of all possibilities. The worst. It was a worse possibility than terrorists hijacking the planes and striking them into the buildings.
Yeah.
It was worse than that. That's the fucked up part. That's the mind bender right there.
Right.
Well, hey, dudes, I got a motor, but, hey, it was cool talking to you guys for a little bit.
Call earlier, man.
Black helicopters, Jeff.
Yeah, we're coming to knock on your door now, man. Hey, call in earlier next time.
Hey, when are we going to go out and drink some brewskis, though, you know? When are we all going to meet up?
I don't know.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
I'm going to be in Detroit for a couple different nights just to see some music, so I won't have a ton of time. But I'd be up for meeting up for a beer or two then, or whenever. Sometime this summer, man, we got to get something going.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Every time you guys fucking ask something, it's the middle of the winter and there's a massive storm. Last time there was a fucking ice storm I couldn't make it over for.
Yeah, over the times or whatever.
Yeah,
We want to see if you really want to make it out, if you really have the desire to make it.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff.
Okay.
We got another call on the line, so I'll let you go.
Uh-oh.
All right. See you, buddy.
Take it easy, buddy.
See ya.
Okay. All right, bye.
Who's this now?
All right. I don't know. Let's see. All right, caller, what's your name and where do you hail from?
Hi, my name's Meg, and I'm calling from Central Florida.
Meg,
how's it going?
Central Florida, welcome.
It's going well. Thank you. Thanks for having
good.
Me. I was listening to your program. Actually, I saw that you had posted that your show was going to be airing tonight on a Facebook group. I don't think it's the one that you mentioned, the one with, would you say, like a 500,000 subscribers?
Oh, yeah, the Cop Block. Yep.
Oh, that was Cop Block. Yeah, I saw your advertisement actually on Absolutely No Holds Barred on Facebook. And I thought I'd take a listen. It was a group called Absolutely No Holds Barred Bible Talk.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been going to that site for the last week or so, and let me get my partner Dennis. I call him Old DB. Let me get him up to date on what that is, so he knows what
sure.
it's about.
Sure.
My handle is Uncle Fester. But my name is Brian. You can call me either
Brian.
Or.
Okay.
And that's Dennis and Old DB. What it is, Dennis, is it looks like it's mainly a kind of a debate forum for biblical theology, and it's about 95% Christians in some way or another debating different Bible stuff. And I've went in there a few times and interjected some funny stuff, you know, from my atheist point of view. Didn't really get into a bunch of debates with too many people because I feel like I'm just wasting my time, but I'm glad you called in because we actually don't want just a bunch of people calling in that totally agree with everything we say, and you know, we like to be able to debate and stuff and hear different points of view and stuff. So we're pretty rough and rude on this show normally, so we'll try to keep ourselves in somewhat in line and not insult the lady.
thanks. I mean, I'd like to stay in honor. I do happen to be a Christian. I believe, you know, Jesus Christ is God. I was actually born again in 2008.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what more to say other, you know, just to give you, you know, due notice, I'm a Christian.
I could ask you a few questions.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
You said you called in for a certain. You wanted to say something.
Well, I called in to ask you a question. Actually, you were talking a bit about the law, and you were talking about you mentioned Cop Blog and abuse
right.
of police power and stuff. And I'm kind of interested
sure.
in that stuff. And I actually had a question about if you had ever heard of a guy by the name of John Leland or the Black Robe Regiment. They were a group of influential Christian pastors pre-revolutionary time. They kind of fought about the abuses of British governors here in the state.
Right.
And they were actually influential in a conversation John Leland and Madison had over the Declaration of Independence, and including the First and Second Amendments in the Constitution, that is the right to religious liberty and the right,
right.
to defend that liberty, and that actually comes to us in our laws and the Constitution through, I don't really know how else to say it other than Baptist influence or some sort
well,
of Christian.
The laws,
I mean,
laws
I know
of the Constitution actually save freedom from religion. That's the
yeah.
first
well, before
amendment
that,
of our Constitution is freedom from religion. Mm-hmm. So
well,
I guess my concern is that you're saying that there's a wellspring of law that was developed surrounding Christian tenets.
Well, no,
and I don't believe that at all. In fact, most of the founding fathers were atheists.
Hang on, Dennis.
I was just asking specifically for about the First and Second Amendment, that the ones that really uphold all the others, and they really, you know, that atheists can say what they need to feel that they need to say, and that Christians can say what they need to say, and Muslims can say what they need to say, and that nobody is going to be harmed because we all have the right to defend ourselves. And there were many people who weren't necessarily Christian involved in all of this. So I was just calling in specifically to kind of point out that the influence of the First and Second Amendment specifically are...
The Baptist
said, Virginia will not sign with you unless you assure us this First and Second Amendment. You won't have a union.
Right. I think I recall that.
That was Baptist influence. And that was Baptist influences everyone's benefit, even the atheists.
Right. I think I recall.
If you could comment to that. Just to specify my question, I'll let you guys answer. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to answer it. I think I recall something to that effect. My whole thing is I kind of disagree with Dennis a little bit. Back in revolutionary times, I think a lot of people were basically Christian or theists. That's not true.
Ben Franklin was an atheist. Thomas Jefferson was an atheist. The list goes on and on. Thomas Jefferson wasn't an atheist.
He was a theist.
I agree that he was a theist.
They weren't atheists like we are. My whole thing is there was more religious people to me back then. I mean, the same religion. Brought up some laws and stuff from back then. It's not shocking at all. The further you go back in history, the more religion controlled everything. It was, you know, I mean, we try not to be under a theocracy now in the United States today, but I mean, you know, I think back, we were trying to get away from control of England and in the throne back then and everything, and religious control, the church controlling everything. I know when we got in America, they were trying to keep from, you know, trying to have that happen again, so they put safeguards in for that. So, I mean, to say that the church had influence back then for the amendments, I'm not surprised by it. I won't argue it. But, I mean, you know, obviously it's a good thing. Not everything that came from the church is horrible, if that's even the way it went down.
Would you mind if I just interject something right here, just particularly? I heard you mention a lot religion. The Bible teaches that there's two different types of religion. There's pure religion, and there's false religion. So obviously, pure religion, if it does exist,
it's all false religion.
It's all false religion. But you guys have to understand
all of it
the idea
is false
if,
religion.
Because you don't know that it's all false. But
I mean,
let me ask you.
I mean, we discussed several times about. Just common sense values of the Bible. I mean, how can you explain and come to terms with the Bible mentioning unicorns and dragons and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that a document, and that's all religious documents are quite like that.
Right.
You know, mention these fanciful creatures that obviously do not exist. So, if the Bible is the true word of God, then God is describing fanciful creatures to human beings that do not exist. So he's
May I apply your scientific method to your question? If I don't,
it's a common sense question. How many unicorns have you seen?
Exactly.
I mean, how many dragons
None.
Have you seen?
But I haven't seen India either. You understand? I haven't seen India either. But I'm told it's there.
But you know it exists, right? You've seen pictures of it.
I do.
You've seen people and have met people from India.
Can I answer? That's not an equal analogy.
I
don't exist because I have it on good authority. I have witnesses who've traveled there and can tell me assuredly, yes, Meg, India exists. And I
so if you have somebody come back and tell you that a unicorn exists, would you believe it?
If it's Jesus?
No. You
now
just
wait,
said that you believe
the Bible
India exists
the word
because people have come back
wait,
and
let me finish. No,
you just
have
said that you know
you
India exists because people have come back and told you so much. If people come back and tell
no,
you that
people.
Unicorns exist, would you believe it?
True or false, you called the Bible the Word of God, and you heard me declare Jesus is God at the beginning of this conversation.
You're not answering.
Therefore,
answer my question, please.
I am.
Answer
Bible
my question, please.
Jesus.
If you
I
had
am.
People come back
the
and
Bible,
said they saw a unicorn, would you believe it?
Is it Jesus who says it?
Not
yeah.
Jesus. You believe India exists because people ordinary. No, let me finish. You believe India exists because ordinary people have come back and told you so, right? And you've maybe met some people from India. If
you
had some ordinary people come back and tell
you
that unicorns exist,
I will. Here, I'll do it again. Some guy in a white lab coat comes up to me and tells me at the bottom of the ocean he found this strange creature with a little light on its head. And it uses it to lure other fish in and eat them. I'd say, do you have witnesses to this? Can I see this specimen? Of course. But see, this is Jesus. And Jesus says he reveals all things in his time.
What time do you think that's going to be? We're 2014 years on now. We're 2014
right.
years on. When do you think that's going to be? Any time now? Or do you think it'll be 100 years in the future or 1,000 years in the future?
I'm told to look up right now. My redemption draws nigh.
What's your name again? I'm sorry.
What does that mean? Wait,
my name is Meg.
So it doesn't, are you saying it just doesn't matter when it occurs?
That is saying I want to talk. What's your name again? I forgot your name.
My name's Meg. Meg, my last name's Byers,
okay.
And I say
you don't
have
to give
absolutely no part.
No, that's fine. Hey, Meg, you ought to know. I don't know if you know or not, but Brian, my cohort here, he was also a born again for quite a few years.
Right.
Okay.
So
well,
he was in your spot at one time.
And Meg, I'm going to tell you, Meg, I have a lot of and I don't want to demean you or anything, but I want to say sympathy for you. I don't want to say I have sympathy. I have some empathy. I kind of understand where you're coming from. I know where you're coming from. And how I got to where I am today is one of the main things was just so much inconsistency with the Bible. And one of the things is Christ. Christ said all these things. He said all these things will come to pass. He would return in the same generation that they were in at the time. And that's one of the things. I mean, that's a main thing that never happened. Christ was supposed to come back way back then. Yeah,
you're referring
Matthew,
to his conversation with the disciples in Matthew 24. Is that what you're referring to?
I don't know the exact verse. It's the end of Matthew. Yeah, and okay. Not only that. Look at it this way. Just think about this. I'm not stealing your faith. Anybody can do whatever they want. We have freedom in this country. You can believe whatever you want. You can believe. You can believe unicorns, you can believe in air, whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But you got to look at, like, there's billions and billions of other people on this planet, billions of Muslims, billions of Hindus. They all believe in different gods than you, in a different god. The Muslims believe in Allah. Now, how do you figure out that their gods are wrong? How do you come to the conclusion that what they're believing is wrong? How do you come to believe that the Quran is wrong and it's not the Word of God, but yet the Bible is the Word of God? How do you come to that conclusion?
Well, the authority is Jesus. I mean, if I'm to give my reasonable service to Him, then what He says trumps what everybody else says. That's like if I love my husband, I'm going to obey him before I obey you. Because I love him more.
Don't you think it's kind of peculiar that Christianity was the truth that you found, the religion you found the truth, and it happens to be this country's overriding main religion, and you're in an area living and born
well,
maybe
first,
somewhere in an area that Christianity...
Question, the first part of your question about me finding Chris, that's not what happened. I love him because he first loved me. He found me.
Right.
Meg, let me ask you a question. And I've had, you know, religious people normally lie to me about this, about the answer, and that's fine if you want to also. But what if you were born in the slums of Pakistan, do you think you'd be a Christian?
I think Jesus can find people in the slums of Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. It's religion is entirely an environmental factor that's brought forth due to your surroundings.
Well, now, we were talking about
the people that surround you, whatever else. If you were born in the slums of Pakistan, there is no way you would be a Christian.
There's no way you wouldn't be saved by God.
There's no way. And the reason?
Well,
because everyone else there is Muslim.
You would
be
saved by God.
You can change that faith on occasion. Some people do. But there's a pretty good 99.9% chance you'd be Muslim if you were born in the slums of Pakistan. It's all circumstance, and it's all your environment.
If you're born anywhere that the Bible teaches, you must be born again. That's if you're born anywhere. Why stop at Pakistan? Never mind that the scriptures tell us.
How about New Delhi? You're born in
the
slums of New Delhi. Do you think you'd be Christian?
See, this is what you have to justify in yourself, Meg.
Do I think
I would be a
Christian? I just told you you're a Christian because Jesus came to you. Can Jesus come to someone in a slum in Pakistan? Absolutely. The word of God is
not
coming.
Buddha come
else.
To people? Buddha certainly can come to people. Muhammad certainly can come to people.
When has Muhammad risen from the dead and come to anybody, guys? You show me where. Show me that claim.
There has been tons of gods that have supposedly rose from the dead. All types of religions.
Who?
Pagan religions. Osiris.
Horus in Egypt.
Guys, this is like
there's been
nonsense.
Greek gods. Horus in Egypt, there was a god in Greek. They all rose from the dead.
And which one
and they all had
save
disciples.
You? And which one claimed to save you? None, except for Jesus. There's only one man. There's only one.
Yeah. What you have to justify in yourself, Meg, is you are serving a God that is basically going to put billions and billions of people in hell and burn for eternity because they're in the wrong spot. They're born in the wrong country.
They don't believe the same thing you do, so they're going to hell and
you have to
eternal
that.
Damnation to be tortured forever. It's just ridiculous. Come on.
You know what God
it doesn't
says?
Make sense.
It says that everyone that comes before his throne is without excuse. That even if you didn't have the Bible written for you, the trees and the stars and all of these things manifest his Godhead. Without excuse. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. And that
why
spirit
do you
is
have
like
to have formal
wings.
Religion? Why do you even have to have formal religion?
He says,
if anybody can come to him, why do we need churches if anybody can come to him? Just anybody
religion,
can come to him.
Did I say anything about that? No.
No, you said anybody can come to him. There, you don't have to have a religion or anything. I mean, you can just come to him.
You
won't accept anybody.
You must be born again. You must believe Jesus is God according to the Scripture. You must believe he died for your sins.
Right.
You must believe he rose from the dead.
That's the whole thing.
Do you know how many times you said must? Like it was forced. Forced on.
Well, I was born again. And I lived that way for 15 years, and I renounced it. Because I found out by actually reading and investigating stuff and learning, I found out it was a bunch of BS. It's mind control. It's a way for people to control people and keep them in fear. It's a way to people also to alleviate their fears of death. You know, do you believe in a talking snake? Do you believe in the Genesis story that a woman was made of a rib from a man? Do you believe that all actually happened? Because if you don't believe it, then there's no need for a Messiah. There's no need for, because there's no original sin. The whole story is a bunch of hogwash.
I agree. That's why I believe it, because he said it. It's not good to argue with him. He's always right.
Yeah.
Wow.
God is not mocked. You know, we'll probably just have to agree to disagree, Meg, because we're like really on different ends of the spectrum, and you know.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I like it. I'm glad you called, Meg. You're the first caller contrary to what we or least willing to dispute what we are discussing here. So it's been interesting, and I appreciate the call. The thing is this, and you got to know, it's all about environment. It is entirely about environment. And I got you with that question about growing up and being born in the slums of Pakistan, and you know it. And it is all about environment. If that was not, if you weren't surrounded by it, you would not drift towards it. And in the end, if you're a critical thinker, there is no way that the Bible can be true. There are so many falsehoods and contradictions in the Bible, there is just no way it can be true.
I've seen the atheist list of supposed contradictions in the Bible. I have, and we could probably talk about those all night long.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to clarify, because you didn't get me on the Pakistani question. Because Jesus, I told you the Word of God isn't found. The gospel can be preached anywhere, and if they got trees and sky and sea and birds in Pakistan, the Holy Ghost can bear witness with their spirit.
But see, seasoned birds and things like that, that's evolution, right? I mean, the birds evolved from fish who came from the sea, and you got plants. Plants are photosynthesis. You know, they live through converting energy from the sun into food. There's explanations for those things now. It's not just a wonder of God of, well, you know, there are scientific explanations and understandings of how those things were evolved and create them and exist. They exist.
We understand a man can't live in a belly of a whale for 3 days. He can't even get down his throat. There's no there's only two kinds of whales, and then one of them will be eaten up by acids. So I mean, it's virtually impossible. Both the stuff in the Bible. So I mean, we know
modern,
that, and it's not. You know, it's just.
Modern genetics explains why Adam and Eve couldn't be possible, or Noah's Ark couldn't be possible. We would all be mentally disabled.
Well, I don't know
we would not have enough genes to sustain. There would not be a large enough gene pool to sustain a healthy population. We'd all be retarded, right? We'd all be retarded.
Right.
If we all came from just two people or say even 20 or whatever it was off of Noah's Ark, we would all be retarded. Maybe we are. I don't know. According to genetics, right, we would be physically and mentally disabled.
Well, I don't know what studies now
because of genetics.
Well, what studies are you referring to? I don't know what studies you're – what genetic studies
you know that, right? I mean, if you get two people that's why we have laws that don't allow people that – within the same family to marry each other if you're close. You can't marry your brother, right? And you can't have kids with your brother.
Isn't that a daisy?
Because of that very fact. And we know that as scientific fact through genetic research that is the case.
Which research? That's why I keep asking you. What research?
We've mapped the human genome. We can take specific strands of DNA and find where specific traits in our body occur along that line of DNA.
Look into it. Do research.
Do Google genome, human genome, and see what that's about. Because they can identify specific illnesses that occur along your DNA. They can it's unbelievable. And this is how they're able to do these crazy things, which I don't agree with. But like cloning is through genetics. They're trying to bring back the woolly mammoth because they have DNA that they've recovered that's been frozen in the ice for thousands of years. And with that DNA, they have enough strands of DNA to recreate a woolly mammoth and are talking about doing it. I don't agree with that. I think that's
Jurassic Park is going to happen, Meg.
Right, right. But we have the ability to do that through genetic understanding. And so it goes back to the Bible. You can trace it right back to Adam and Eve, and Noah's Ark is two specific examples of that could not have happened because of our understanding of genetics. And we would all be mentally retarded right now, physically and mentally disabled.
I'll send you a friend request on that, absolutely no holds barred, and you can give me all your citations, and I'll be pleased to look at them. I'll give them due diligence. Maybe we can finish this conversation another time.
All right. Call back sometime. Matt. We appreciate the call.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Yep. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Yep, you too.
That was our best call yet, man.
Yeah, she was good person.
I mean, that's not easy to do. She's calling in to two people that are vehemently opposed to what she believes and was still willing to discuss it. So that's pretty cool. That's a good deal. I hope we get more of those. Hopefully we get some more calls like that.
Yeah. 646-595-4686 if you want to call in. There are so many things I could talk about her.
Marge, are we Jewish?
No, Homer.
Woohoo!
That's part of the one of the main things what I was trying to get across, but I think we did kind of, was, you know, I mean, the Jews don't believe in Christ, Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and I hope she can still hear us. I don't know if she was just on the phone line or if she's online actually listening, but Meg, if you're out there, one of the main things I have a problem with is, even if I don't even really, not even, I don't even believe Jesus existed in the form that Christians say he did. But Jews do not believe he was the Messiah. There are so many things that he did not fulfill in Jewish prophecy. There is all types of things. He was supposed to stay alive. He was supposed to lead them like a governor type leader, a political leader. He was supposed to, all death was supposed to stop when he came back. And there is no second coming. When he came to the earth the first time, there is no second coming. And everything, death was supposed to stop, sickness was supposed to stop, all these things, and none of that happened at all with him. And the whole thing is, and there's just, it's like a list of like 100 things that he was supposed to have done if he was the actual Messiah of the Jews that he did not do. And Christianity, they tried to falsify it and fake everything to make it to where he's fulfilling a lot of these older prophecies. And it's, you can just tell it. If you look at it, you got to get a macro vision look at it. You really can tell it's a made-up story. I mean, it's just a made-up story to try to, you know, make a Messiah, basically. You know, it's like it's crazy. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that one of the points you made a couple shows ago stuck with me, and it made sense when you said it. You know, Romans were meticulous with their record keeping.
Right.
I mean, you know everything that went on in every area of the Roman Empire where records, you know, still existed, which they do in the Middle East and Jerusalem and stuff, and they don't mention him anywhere in their records.
No.
If they crucified him, and they did it for a purpose, where they certainly would have fucking kept some records on it.
Right.
You know. So I think that's a good point also, that, you know. You know, the Bible doesn't even mention him. They talk about him being born, and then 35 years later, he's roaming around the desert, you know, or whatever it was, 30 years later, you know. A massive portion of his life doesn't even go mentioned in the most important religious document of Christianity. You know,
right? Yeah.
But shit, man, I'm so glad she called in. It's an interesting point of view. And did you hear the crickets chirp when I asked her about being born in Pakistan in the slums?
I know, dude. I was trying to get up to do the crickets drop, and I couldn't get to it. And then you started talking before I could hit it.
She didn't know what to say to that one. Boom.
Yeah.
I lowered the boom down on that one, and she had no, she had no answer to it. So that, you know,
I was trying to do this.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. She
I'm
had
not
no
fast
answer
enough
to
on
it.
The drops, dude. I'm not fast enough.
You know, I've done it before, and I've seen people like kind of just lie straight face to me and go, "Yeah." I've only three or four times I've asked this women when I've gotten a religious discussion. People that are willing to discuss religion that are religious, you know, which is kind of rare nowadays.
Right.
And I ask, you know, when we get into the debate about it, I ask that question. I've had a couple of them just straight lie straight. I would be a Christian if I was born in the slums of Pakistan. I would be born a Christian and believe in Jesus Christ.
No.
All right. Well,
that's
then
not true.
So be it. You know.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that.
That's hilarious.
Well,
she
sounds like she was listening to part of our show. I'm glad she was listening to the Cop Block thing. I hope she goes back and maybe likes that page. And, you know, that's I went back to saying that was kind of tied into religion, and I still think it is. I think, you know, religion lends to authoritarianism, where they
right.
like they like the police and the military and things like that, for the most part, not always.
We
of course, everything
we
talk about
Trump,
is generalized. You know,
we can't be
but
trusted
it's
on our own.
Generally true, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about religion. What I was trying to tell her is that it's a way to keep you under control, to keep your mind controlled, to keep you under authority, get you used to being having an authoritative figure always watching over you. Conform always. There's a spiritual father watching over you, watching everything you do, keeping score of everything you're doing. And then if you get into the secret club where you're saved, if you accept the Son as your Savior, and then now you're going to live, you're a new creation, you're going to think different, you're going to act different, you're not going to question anything, you're just going to read this book, and that's the truth, His Word, everything is His Word, you're not going to question nothing, you're just going to do whatever this book tells you, and that's what it is. And then people are just, you become like a sheep. I mean, you know,
right.
they call
go along with
sheep.
The flock, man.
Christian
you
calls
gotta go along with the flock.
They have a flock, sheep. But what you really are is you're just kind of a mindless, you know, you're a mindless robot for the state, for the power structures that be. They don't want people that are questioning, that want to know what's going on with the money, what's going on with the banking systems, what's going on. They don't want people that are inquisitive, that want to know, you know. They just want people that are going to church every Sunday, just keep putting that money in that church, and just don't question nothing. Don't keep going to your job. Just keep going to your job. Don't question nothing. Don't look at nothing. Just keep watching Fox News. You'll be okay. Everything will be okay.
Yeah.
You know, we'll protect you.
While you live in that,
that
shack or that trailer,
and
you go to church every Sunday and give up a chunk of your money for a church that's probably the nicest building for miles around, especially in rural areas.
Yeah.
That's the case.
And
you know,
be happy about it.
Right. And be accepting that's the way things are supposed to be.
Yep, you're not just contented.
Dude, I tell you, man, you were over in Europe, right? I mean, I don't know if you ever had a chance to go to, like, some of the cathedrals over there. You drive around, and Europe's beautiful, just gorgeous. But there's poverty in Europe, too. And I'm sure back in the, 15, 16, 1700s, it was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And you go into some of these churches, man,
Black
they're gold-plated, they're massive, they take up like a two city blocks, 40-foot ceilings, just the most ornate, richest building for miles around, and you just know that, it was those poor peasants that built it, man, were, lived in just absolute poverty while it happened.
Right.
that's what it is, man. It's no matter what your pay scale is, they still expect you to fork it out every Sunday.
10%. Keep that money rolling.
I tell you what, the Mormons, man, they have a direct deposit. It's compulsory for them. They have that shit directly from their paycheck right to the church.
Yep.
That's a money-making machine
all
for that church.
It's always money. You hardly ever see any religions based on, we don't want your money. Look at Scientology. The more you pay, the more knowledge they'll give you, the more information
right.
they'll give you about what's going
That's
on.
A good one.
You got to pay more and more and more. I mean, it's all, whether it's Catholicism or Pentecostal Southern preachers that are faith healers, and they have their healing Sunday night healing service at 6 o'clock. If you're truly empowered by God to heal, why don't you get out of that goddamn church and go into a fucking
right.
children's hospital and start laying your hands on these children and getting them to walk? You know why
right.
they don't do that? Because it doesn't work. I've seen it.
Right.
And you know my story. I have a story that I don't tell hardly anybody. Maybe one day I'll get enough guts to tell it on this show, but I don't tell nobody about it. But it's something that shaped my life in the way I am today. And I don't know if I would be at in my thinking the way I am today if it wouldn't have happened. It was a very bad, bad thing. But that's my challenge.
I don't know what it is.
I've only told a couple few people, so you might not know.
I don't think I know.
Maybe sometime
we can talk about it. Who knows?
Yeah, my challenge to them is interrelated to faith healing. So, anyways, get in these hospitals if you believe in faith healing. It says these signs shall follow them that believe. If you're listening, Meg, you shall cast out demons. You shall speak with new tongues. You'll heal the sick. You'll drink poison and not be harmed. You'll pick up a snake, whatever. You're supposed to be able to do all that stuff if you believe. That's why, a lot of people are like, well, these Westboro people are nuts in the Westboro church, and these snake handler peoples in the Appalachians are nuts. They're actually living what the Bible says.
Yeah.
They're doing what
yeah.
the Bible says. Are they crazy? Yeah, they're crazy because it's nuts. The Bible's it's insane. But they're actually doing what it says, the Amish and stuff. That separate themselves from the world and live without worldly things. Those people are actually trying to live by what the Bible tells them. What happens when you live by what the Bible tells you? You look like you're nuts. You're insane. You can't live in modern society. But my challenge is if you believe that, then go into the hospitals. Go lay your hands on kids. It's you'd be better off just going in there and hugging them and kissing them and just shaking their hand, and patting them on the head. But, go in there and pray for them,
Yeah.
But they ain't going to do it.
Well,
they ain't going
to
do it.
It comes back to what you said to our caller, to Meg, is, it's an answer for what happens after death. And I think that's all they feel. A lot of people feel like they need to do is their efforts are they go to church on Sunday, they give a little bit of money, and they're guaranteed an afterlife,
Right.
They spend 2 hours a week and they think that, and give $50 and think that that's bottom a place in the afterlife,
Right.
And, it's crazy. If they're really doing
perversion.
The tenets of the Bible, they'd be giving that money to the poor. They'd be, building shelter, which does happen. Does happen. And those are the best parts of religion. But it's
right.
very uncommon. It is
right.
not a common thing to happen.
Those guys on TBN you see flying around in private jets. They got,
right.
they got private jets, mansions everywhere. You got the, what's the one, the lady, the older lady with red hair, tall. They just showed her houses. She had like five houses, this one giant complex of mansions. I can't think of her name. She's a famous author. She's a big
I don't even know.
Feature,
it makes greed accessible.
Joyce Myers.
That's how the flock wants to become, is that.
Yeah.
I want my five mansions and,
Yeah. But they're not going to get it because they're giving all their
right.
money away to them.
Right.
It's just that whole prosperity, Joyce Myers preaches that, I believe. She's the one, and she's always been acting like she's against that, but she's just as bad as a lot of the other guys, like the Benny Hinn's and all that. They're all like rolling big with all this money and everything, and it just got everybody snowed over, man. It's crazy. And how many Robert Tiltons have they been? Well, where they outright admit they're shysters,
Yep.
And
yep. Well, one of the best shows that shows that is. And I sent that link to our religious buddy on Facebook that pops up a lot, and he said it was disturbing even for him. But it was called Marjo, and it was this documentary made in the 70s, and I believe it won Oscar for Best Documentary of the Year, or Academy
right.
Award. And it's about this kid who was a child preacher. His parents forced it on him and taught him how to proselytize and preach in front of people. And at the age of like 6 or 7 or a very early age, he was healing people. And they were coming, and he was getting people to get out of their wheelchairs and drop their canes and lose their cancer and stuff like that. And, of course, it was all totally fake. His parent, and it was all from the money. So they would travel in this, if he was a kid in the 70s, I think it was probably in the 50s, he would travel around and town to town and scam the people for their money every place they went. And so as he became older, they had a back behind the scenes of him. He was in his 20s, still doing the same thing. And at this point, it was color. You know, he was famous as a child preacher. And they named him Marjo, of course, Mary Joseph. So that's his name, Marjo. And in his 20s, he was an absolute atheist. And they had cameras follow him around, and they would show him go into these churches and scam these people and touch their foreheads, and they would fall back, you know, and they'd be dancing in the aisles and shit, and he'd pass the plate, and he would rake in, you know, thousands of bucks from some just backwater temporary church facility, and they showed him going back to his room, and he dumped all the money on the bed in his hotel room.
Yep.
He's like rolling in his shit. He's like, laying out. What are these people, man? They can't even figure it out, man. He's like, I haven't believed in God for years, and yet they, you know, so it is all in your head, man. If you convince yourself that it's the case, then so be it. That's how you're going to live your life, you know?
Right.
And it was shocking to see, they went back, you know, they showed him in probably 5 or 6 different sermons around the country, and he was doing the same thing. And they showed him they cut to the hotel room, and he's talking about how gullible people are, and they just want to believe. And then they'd cut to him doing the sermon, and the camera would be behind his back showing the flock, you know, and they're just going crazy. And he's a fiery sermon and shit. And it just showed how. And it was almost, I felt almost bad for him. And then I'm thinking, no, I don't. You know, that's something you brought on yourself and convinced yourself of. But it just shows how gullible those people were, man.
Yeah.
You know, to believe
thousands,
to believe that, dude.
It's thousands of years of social engineering. You know, we are engineered to be afraid of death. Well, we're afraid of death anyways. But, I mean, the religious aspect of it in the control act, aspect of it has just been embedded in us. I mean, it's just, it's been beaten into us over thousands of years and taught after generation after generation. I mean, it starts with fairy tales when you're a little kid and, you know, you believe in this fairy tale, and then they start when you're
Easter
a little kid.
Easter Bunny, about Santa Claus.
Jesus, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus. You believe in all this stuff as you get older, then like, well, all that other stuff isn't real, but yet Jesus is.
Right.
You know, and that's the whole, and it's that last one, man. People will hang on to that to death.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, you know, there's a lot of people that are Christians in America that I believe, you know, they're Christians, but they still live basically like me and you do. I mean, they just have this thought that something's watching them. So they probably have a little more guilt when they do something wrong or they think they're doing something wrong, whatever. So they might live with a little more guilt, but they basically live like how we do. You know, they're pretty much the same. And those people, it's probably not as a big of a burden. But there's people that are so sold out to it. They're like every little thing they do. If they say something wrong to somebody, they got to go to God and get in their prayer closet and repent. And they're reading Bible for hours a day, and they're going to church 3 times a week and giving money to the church. And they're just consumed with it. And you got to believe the longer you go in. You're in that bondage. I call it bondage. You're in that mental brainwashing bondage. The longer you're in that 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, it's almost impossible to get out of it. Because at that point, you're like, I've wasted my whole life believing this. Now, I can't get out of it. Now, what if I'm wrong? What? Then you're so chicken shit, you're like, if I'm wrong and I go to hell after I denounce Christ, after I spent 40, 50 years living for him, then what kind of idiot am I? I mean, I did it for like 15 years. I lived as a born-again Christian. And, you know, and I am the way I am today because what I went through, but I still feel like 15 years of my life, I'm like, man, oh, man, I lived 15 years with guilt and fear and worry that I should have never even had. You know, there is no original sin. There is no sin. There's right and wrong that we have developed through, you know, years and years of humanity that we've decided this is right and this is wrong. But, I mean, there's no sin. I mean, that's just insane. You know, something.
Right.
Like
the whole Adam
Eve thing.
Punish
you if you die.
You know, that was the thing, too. I hope she does go back and search, like, the genome project and look into genetics a little bit. Because I always thought that that was, I mean, that's my misunderstanding. I thought that that was somewhat of common knowledge nowadays. But, you know, I'm sure that that's not being taught in any church. You know,
I can't remember
maybe,
how long ago.
Yeah.
How long,
I mean,
how
I
long
guess
ago,
if most
Noah's
of your time and energies are devoted to a church and worshiping, then you're not going to hear about, you know, the Human Genome Project. And I mean, genetics is a basic thing, man. It's, you know, your blue hair, blonde eye, or blue eyes, blonde hair, you know. I mean,
right.
It's all genetics passed down. And, if you don't, I mean, that's the reason that the law's there, man. That's why cousins can't marry and brothers and sisters. I thought that was totally common knowledge, but hopefully she'll take a look at that, because that in itself dispels the notion of Adam and Eve, which then in turn dispels the notion of original sin. I mean, but, you know, it's just a ridiculous concept of her being born of his rib. Come on,
right.
I'm telling you, know, man, another one of those common sense, that's total bullshit thing, you know?
They won't believe in evolution. They'll believe a rib was taken out of a man and a woman was created from that.
Right.
I mean, what's more probable? You know,
Meg, go ahead. She kept mentioning, you know, the birds and the trees and, you know, as if that was a God invention, you know? And, I could hear it from her point of view of her saying these things like they're, you know, miraculous creations from God. Well, no, you know, that's photosynthesis that's feeding those trees, and that's, you know, that's evolution where that bird came from a species of fish, you know, 100 million years ago from the ocean and diverged into several other species. And, you know, but she, you know, the way she was describing it was all the wonder of nature as God has created. That's the wonder of science. I mean, it's still awe-inspiring, you know. It's still an incredible notion, I think, to me, a greater notion than religion, that we are a tiny speck in this massive universe. You know, we're just a tiny speck in something that's so big we can't even comprehend, and yet we still know the details of how trees come about, how they live, and how they get fed, and how species have come about, and things like that. I mean, I think it's pretty incredible. We know what we do, actually, and who knows, man? As technology and time goes forward, and things are changing so quickly, who knows what we're going to find out? I mean, I think it's going to be more incredible, you know, more quickly as time goes by.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
So I mean, the only thing I was going to say
about it is one thing is the whole genetics and everything. They pretty much, she's got to stay away from and anybody. You got to stay away from those Answers in Genesis sites, the Ken Ham and that they put out there. So all their information is so wrong. I don't know if they knowingly they put all the scientific dad out there. That's just a joke, dude. 99% of scientists are just laughing at him like he's nuts. And, you know, they've already proven, I can't remember how long ago Noah's Ark was supposed to have been 4,300 years, whatever it is. They've already proven that there couldn't have been 7,000 people come from a handful of people that soon ago. There's no way it could have happened. I mean, all of humanity basically came from his family.
Right.
I mean, you know, in 4,000 plus years. It's insane.
It started with Adam and Eve with two people, and then was compressed down into Noah's Ark after, who knows, maybe a few thousand years or whatever, again.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd all be walking mentally and physically disabled. And she it was like, huh, I've never heard of that before. You know,
yeah.
Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I mentioned the law. That's why there's a law against it. You know?
Yep.
It isn't just because it's uncomfortable or taboo. It's because of genetics that you're going to create a mentally and physically disabled person, for sure.
Right.
Just about, you know, I mean, so it keeps going back to not making sense over and over.
Not to mention having every species of animal on Earth on the Ark, and I always like to add my question is how did the kangaroos get to Australia from Mount Ararat or whatever, wherever the Ark landed, you know, how did they hop across the ocean? I mean, you know, what happened? It's so far away.
Well, you know, God placed them there. Come on. God put them there with his leprechaun spells. But,
my daughter, my example
of that insect, the only place it's found is like 1,000 feet deep in Carlsbad Cavern. So,
yeah.
Fuck, man. No, not only did they not know that whole continent was there, somehow he went down into the cave, retrieved a male and female insect, was able to identify the two of them, bring them back, and then put them back after the flood occurred, you know, going all the way back there again. You know, man. And again, Noah's Ark, even with animals, the exact same situation there. Man, you're talking one of each animal. Genetics would say that none of those species would continue to exist after a while because of genetics.
Right.
The gene pool.
Right.
There.
Yep.
What is it, man?
To me, man, I think science is going to lead us to that greater understanding. It goes back to like that string theory and having these nine parallel universes, and there's something to that. And I think that's why like the Matrix was so popular.
Yeah.
Some people feel so disconnected from what's going on right now in their lives.
Did you see that live in the theater when it first came out, the first one?
I did not. I didn't see it until DVD.
Okay.
I
seen that when it first came out. I had no idea what it was about. I just went on a whim, just sat there. And I was, what year was that? Early 2000s or late 90s?
I think
90s?
So, or very late 99, like 99 or something.
Yeah.
But it was,
99. If it was in 99, that was about the time I started getting out of Christianity and losing my faith with 99. So that movie came out in 99, but I remember sitting there and watching that, and I started thinking about it, and it flipped me out, man. I was like, man, this is weird. And I was like, you know, I wonder if it was really crazy. Anyways, years later.
1999. March
31st,
99.
Yep, I saw that in the spring of 99.
Yeah.
And it tripped me out. And I remember a couple years after that, when I was really starting to get rolling on not believing, and I was kind of like a almost borderline agnostic, probably still call myself a Christian, but was basically an agnostic at that point. At that point, I had seen this thing on the guy was saying that this guy was saying that everything that's ever been thought of in movies and everything, every fantasy novel, everything existed at some time, somewhere in some universe. There's no original thought. Everything that you could possibly think up of has existed or will exist or is existing.
You know,
when I see that movie, I was like, oh, man.
Everything's cyclical, man. It comes in and it, you know, the universe expands and then it contracts and expands and everything comes back onto itself eventually, you know. But that movie in itself, I think that's why it resonated, because there's still the two after that kind of sucked and didn't really carry forward what that first one was about. But it still does with people that there are so many people that just don't feel like they're disconnected, like there's something else going on, you know, that they can kind of feel that maybe know is happening, but they can't access it. They can't get to it, you know?
Well,
and maybe that's the parallel universe thing. I don't know.
I think that's where the Hindu religion came from, the Hindu religion with reincarnation. I think that came from that kind of theory that, you know, you know, that maybe we don't reincarnate into another life, but our particles and our energy goes into something else or something, you know, or we're absorbed into something that's already living. So it kind of in a weird way, kind of by proxy, we live on, but. You know,
if I were to believe anything, I would have a tendency to believe that. And you know, at a molecular level, man, I'm gonna look this up for the next show. But I think every person in the world has molecules from like Albert Einstein in them, and they still have their, you know. And so, at a molecular level and in a subatomic level, things interact with each other. Like my ass is interacting with this chair, and the chair is interacting with the floor, and you know, the floor with the house with the, you know. And so that shit all kind of combines together, man, and it definitely moves at a subatomic level. But, there's some sort, you know, and I keep coming back to it, there's some sort of great understanding out there. The earth is round, or the earth revolves around the sun, knowledge out there that feels like it's about to reveal itself through science. And again,
Seven years of college down the drain.
Right. I mean, science is the one that told us that the earth wasn't flat through study of ships and stuff. And science is the one that told us that the earth revolves around the sun. And, you know, so it's going to be something like that. But I hope it isn't that the movie nailed it, that the Matrix, and that's what we are.
Yeah,
we're all floating in these fucking pods and shit, you know.
I know.
That'd be a bitch.
Powering some other alien civilization or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Terrible. Fucking, yeah, we're living in a computer program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of things that there was another guy that one of those quantum physicists or whatever. He said there's a very, very good chance that we're all living in a simulated program. There's a better than not chance that we are. And I was like that just like. It's like, I don't know how to feel about that. You know, it's kind of scary, but it's kind of like, then it's like, you know, well, it ain't, that's like that comedian Bill Hicks kind of used to talk like that. He used to say, this is just a ride. It's not real. And we can get off the ride at any time. Remember that? And he goes, and all this stuff doesn't really mean anything.
That's a great
that
speech.
That was Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks,
see,
that was way before this time, too. That was like 20 years ago or whatever. He was talking shit like that.
In the 80s,
and that
he was out, man. Yeah.
Yeah, in the 80s, he was saying that stuff.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Well, you know, John Lennon, man, he's got a lot of songs saying nothing is real. You know, it seems like some of these guys that come to the realization of it are the ones that, they've been propelled forward somehow with either comedy, you know, comedy or music or whatever, and it's hit them, you know, and they put it into their material one way or another.
Right.
So I don't know, man. Who knows? But I do think that that's going to be, and you know, and of course, somehow it will be through mathematics, where it will be numbers that'll be able to prove that here is this parallel universe. And this is how we reach it, maybe even. Who knows, you know?
Right.
We can create this whatever it is, this transport vessel of some kind that can, you know, I don't know, man. Who knows? But
I've seen things where they said that time travel is possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's theoretically possible. Now, that should, I don't know about into the past, but into the future. And I'm like, that just seems insane, but, I mean, we can't understand it, how it could be, but... You got a lot of these geniuses walking around that are quantum physicists or whatever, and they're like, oh, theoretically, time travel is possible. Now, how do we do it?
Well,
who knows? But
I tell you what would just about kill religion with one fell swoop, like in one day, almost all of it would die, maybe most of it, would be if aliens, appeared on the Earth.
Right.
You know, it'd be like, fuck, man, if, you know, because, you know, man's, you know, created in God's image and, you know, that crazy. That's the other thing is it's so narcissistic, dude. Religion is so narcissistic. And like how Meg was talking about, well, I know it's true because I believe in Jesus. You know, just because of your belief, that doesn't make it true if there's not facts surrounding it, you know?
Right,
and here's the thing.
They use when you get into these religious fervors and these prayers and these praise and worship sessions in these churches and stuff, you do get a sense of joy and a feeling of togetherness. Right. And you get this little, you get a little butterfly sensation in your stomach, and they'll tell you that's the Holy Spirit. And you know, you get all this going, and you do feel it. But the thing is I can get that now, and I'm a complete atheist.
Right.
I could speak in tongues right now. I can love it. I have all that same stuff. You know, you can do it all, and it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It's all a bunch of crap. And they use that against people, stuff that naturally occurs in people, you know, a natural occurring feeling of joy, of happiness, of peacefulness,
dude,
of excitement.
I got that
on
a Grateful Dead show, man. All the Grateful Dead shows I went to, that's what a Grateful Dead show is all about, joy and happiness and loving your fellow brother. And, you know, it's the whole hippie thing that so many people hate nowadays, but that's, you know, but that's, you know, that's one way that people experienced it, that you didn't
right.
need to believe in a false god to do it. It was right in front of you, man. It was a group of people, you know, sharing with each other, and you didn't have to get down on your knees and believe in something that wasn't there. You know, it was very right funny.
You're getting the happiness from a little something more than religious something. I think it was something might have been passed
around
there.
Well, I got to tell you, man. I got to tell you that it certainly wasn't. I would certainly give more credit to Albert Hoffman than I would God on how, you know, where I am today in my life, but and what I believe in and things like that. But you know but that all part of the human experience, man, and that in itself, man, you know. Ingesting some byproducts of the creation of Albert Hoffman certainly brought me into realms way beyond anything that religion ever could have given me, man. It's your surroundings again, because you're surrounded by a bunch of peace loving hippies, and you know that's what they're all about at that given point in time.
Right.
So they all leave and go back to their regular lives, and you know.
Right.
Dude,
yeah,
I've had another city.
I've had a few experiences like that where I thought I got the mysteries of the universe revealed to me. It was pretty crazy, man. I mean, you're like, I know one thing. One time on a mushroom trip years ago, I felt I felt like I knew everything was interconnected and that everything affected everyone, you know, and I felt that that was like revealed to me through that, through those, hallucinations and everything. And, that was before I'd ever even heard anything about any of that or any of that kind of stuff, the interconnection,
string
theory,
is this pre,
all that kind of stuff.
Is this pre or post,
post-Christian.
Post-Christian. Okay.
Post-Christian.
That would have surprised me if it was pre. Because that's part of it is, you know, hallucinogenics give you a greater understanding of things way beyond what religion could have, and it does show you the interconnection of everything. I mean, the mass interconnection of especially mushrooms, man. But that's what all that Gaia belief, that G-A-I, you know, that new word, the new age belief and stuff, everything is completely interconnected, and I can see it, man. I have a tendency to believe that everything affects everything else, and as we're going around murdering and killing and chopping shit, we're just doing it to ourselves, you know. It's just coming right back to bite us in the ass.
So we watched that one documentary. It's called I Am. And Meg, if you're still listening, look up a documentary called I Am. It's very good. It's not real anti-religious or anything. It's something everybody could watch. But it really goes to they do scientific studies within the documentary, and it shows how everything – I mean, you could be talking to it. They'll have like a cup full of – a Petri dish full of mold, and they'll put electrodes in it and everything, and they'll be talking kindly to it for a long time and everything, and it'll grow real nice and everything and prosper. Somebody will start talking mean to it for like a day, or then it starts like deteriorating and going down, you know, or they'll have something angry, video or yelling going on by it all the time, and it'll like die. it's crazy, man. It's just like how everything affects everything. It's really weird.
Yep, it does. It's all interconnected, man. And it, you know, it's somebody. It's almost too heavy to think about. It's like, it's such a almost like a, you know, it's, I mean, it's a heavy thing to think that everything, you know, you do or affects everything else. But I think it's true. It causes those ripple effects, that butterfly effect, that dumb movie that Ashton Kutcher was
in. I'm to the point now where I'm so much of a, you know, I don't even like killing bugs if I don't have to. I mean, I've killed ants in their house. I'm killing ants. And I hate doing it. But like, if there's something that I can get away with not killing it, I'll try to let it out. Get it outside, or you know, or not kill it. I mean, not because I, you know, I think it makes me a better person or nothing. I just know that if there's no reason to kill something, try not to kill it. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
if it's between you and someone else, and take that other fucking person down. But you know, if it comes down, you know, don't kill unless you have to. You know, you got to survive. You got to eat. You got to, you know. But I'm kind of that way too. But you know, it's also, you know, make sure it doesn't come back either, and have that shit come back. You just got to be able to stay on your ground when you need to.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Well,
I don't know. What's up?
Huh?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking about Meg again. I hope she calls back. We should have told her to bring a couple of her friends along next time and have a good old friendly debate going on.
I'll put that link up there again next week on that site. That was cool that she called. You know, the thing is where I'll give her a lot of credit is she's got a lot of guts to call in, because from my experience, most of the time Christians won't do that. I mean, they'll they're not going to go. They're not, unless somebody's agreeing with them, they're not going to go, you know, and do that and go into a place where they know people are going to be, you know, disagreeing with them and trying to, disagree with them and make them look bad or anything. But I thought we were pretty respectful.
Well, hopefully we'll get some more of that, dude. Hopefully we'll get some more of those. That'd be good to see. So.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Well, we got a couple more minutes. What's that?
I was just wondering if we're wrapping here. What do we got?
We got a couple more minutes.
Week. We can do 8 o'clock.
Yep, we're doing 8 o'clock from now on.
Good show, dude.
Yeah, it's good when people call in, so they don't have to hear us talk all the time.
Right.
All right,
man. Well, if anybody's listening to this on a podcast at a later date, give us a call. We want to hear what you have to say. And, you know, it adds to everything. Come on and debate us. Talk to us about belief. Love it.
Talk to about anything. We'll talk conspiracies, religion, whatever you want to talk about. So,
we
see
got
you next
a little
week.
Bit of everything today, man.
Yeah, we're just
dabbling
in everything.
We're all over the place.
That's okay, man. We got 2 hours, so we gotta spread it out a little bit. All right,
man.
I'll talk to you next week.
Stretch your legs a little bit in the 2 hours. Fuck yeah.
Yep. All right, man. Talk to you later, Dennis.
All right. Adios.
Good night. It's Buster Fish. We're out. Hey, I'm looking into the foundation.